This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is John Martin, Solid Air. I think John Martin is like a Bob Dylan type singer-songwriter kind of guy. All right, but this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, Solid Air is one of the defining moments in British folk. In the same league as Fairport Convention's Liege and Leaf, Richard and Linda Thompson's Shoot the Lights Out, and Michael Chapman's Rainmaker, Martin stepped out of his comfort zone to record and produce it, including not only jazz and blues, but rock and plenty of sound effects, and featuring Rhodes piano on some of the tracks, dismaying some fans while winning a ton more for its genre-blurring presentation. A number of its cuts, such as the title track written for Martin's friend Nick Drake, Over the Hill, I'd Rather Be the Devil, and May You Never, remain staples in his live set until the end of his life. Okay, so kind of a short review, but interesting.
Yep.
So yes, yeah, so the song has 9 tracks on the album, and side one has 4 tracks. So what we do is we take a pause halfway through to discuss the album at the halfway mark. So what we'll do, the album starts with the song Solid Air, and side one ends at I'd Rather Be the Devil. So if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, if you want to take a pause at the 4th track, I'd Rather Be the Devil, and we'll discuss at the halfway point. Okay, so here we go. So here's the first song, which is the title track, Solid Air. So here we go. Okay, and ending side one with I'd Rather Be the Devil. Yeah, this is really interesting so far.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking it too. I have heard of John Martin. I've heard the song Over the Hill.
Okay.
I think when Chris and Rich Robinson were doing their acoustic shows back in 2006, they put out a live album, and I think they covered Over the Hill.
Oh, wow. That.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this is really somehow I never really got that into John Martin. This sort of flew under my radar.
Yeah, mine too. I've heard of Nick Drake. I've heard of his stuff. Fairport Convention. Yeah. You know, some of these things, although they're sort of like, you know, satellites in my experience, I guess, with music and stuff like that. Yeah, John Martin seems to have flown a little under the radar, but no, I'm really liking this. Although it was very hard to understand the words in the first song.
It was,
yeah. But it was good.
It was a good song. It was a very good song. And this almost, I don't know, this came out in 73, and you know, this almost sounds, it sounds timeless, honestly.
It's very, like, fresh sounding.
Yeah. It sounds brand new. It could have come out yesterday, and I would have been like, yeah, I believe that. It has some, I don't know quite what to say. Like, it has the, in a way, it feels very psychedelic. I mean, the last song, it had a pretty broad, you know, psychedelic jam sort of section to it. But, you know, at the same time, like songs like the first song, Solid Air, or even Don't Want to Know, I mean, that those two songs, they feel like they could have been on the radio, like a pop radio. I think it's weird that this never, I think maybe this was more popular in the UK rather than in North America. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know much about this album. I mean, it's, and you know, there isn't a whole lot of information on the album, really. I can hear like later in like stuff that this album influenced.
His voice is almost like Tracy Chapman's in some ways. Yeah, the one review you read said something about the use of the Fender Rhodes. Now, some people were turned off by that. I don't know. I think it adds something to it. I think it gives the album a little bit more levity.
Yeah, well, I think that was maybe more of like a Dylan going electric sort of thing.
Yeah, I figure that probably the sentiment there. I don't know. I mean, as good as the stuff would have been, I think sometimes if an album is like purely, if it tries too hard to stick to, you know, being like it's pure into a genre or something, that sometimes it comes out a little bit flat. And I think this, when he starts experimenting a little bit with other things, it keeps things interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely that sort of that folky jazz kind of thing that I think his fans were sort of expecting and had gotten used to. But you're right. I mean, there's definitely an element of experimentation going on here where, you know, you have to keep things fresh. And, you know, he's an artist and he's not concerned too much about what his fans think, really. I mean, you know, so I think coming to this album and sort of embracing that sort of more experimental psychedelic sort of sound, he's just, you know, creating and it's sort of, I know artists get kind of, it's kind of a double-edged sword with a lot of artists. You don't want to get stuck in, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again, but you also don't want to completely alienate your fans. It's not an easy line to walk.
I would hope that most fans or most music listeners anyway understand that, though, I would hope that most would, you know, sort of approach music as sort of like accepting it as it is. I mean, if something is like really off-putting, okay, it's fine to dislike it, but you know, just because a certain instrument is in it or something like that, and how it's used and something like that, it shouldn't be so, I don't know, some people have a tendency to just like write something off because they just, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure where I'm going with that, but I appreciate open-mindedness when it comes to, you know, I'm trying to keep an open mind myself when it comes to a lot of stuff like this. Although this is not really challenging me that much, this album, actually, to be perfectly honest.
No, it's not really challenging me either. I mean, I do understand it is a difficult thing to be a fan of something. And also, I mean, there are bands that I do think maybe have had like their quality has dipped, you know, and maybe they have like one or two really good albums, and then the third album is like, okay, I'm not really into this anymore. I won't name any names, but I can think of a few.
And I know what that's like, but sometimes it feels like, you know, the, I find that's most of the time, like what turns me off is when the songwriting is not as good as it used to be, where it just suddenly isn't, you know, the song used to have like these dynamics and things going on. And then it just, because I don't know, for some reason they started making money or something like that. I have no idea what causes it. But a lot of bands, and suddenly their stuff turns out kind of flat. It can be on like an upper level flat or a lower level flat or something like that. But the dynamics are lost in it. And whether or not that's dynamics of like sound and something like that. And I'm not even talking about the loudness war. I'm just saying in general, like the music itself just isn't as good anymore.
Yeah. But I don't think he's having that problem here.
No, you know? He's not. No. His. I think John Martin is actually a fantastic songwriter, and I've only heard 4 songs of it so far.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing, you know. And I know we always talk about like what if it, like if this album had come out today, like would it make an impact or would it do anything? And I honestly think this would. I think maybe not like in the mainstream pop world, but I can see this becoming like a really big like indie album with fans like of just you know, like that like the folk indie folk sort of kind of thing. He's kind of inventing that with this album. You know, so I do think it would do something today. I don't think it would be completely, you know, out of the realm of possibility that this would become like the songs you would hear like on a movie soundtrack or something like that, you know, or in the background of a TV show or something. Like, I think it would, this album would have fans today.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit ahead of its time, and not just production wise, but although production wise, it sounds very fresh for sure. Yeah, subject matter wise, it's it seems to be pretty timeless. It doesn't seem to have a lot of things holding it back.
And you know, the critics of the album were pretty, like, they were pretty. It's like it didn't get a lot of reviews when it came out. It kind of flew under the radar of a lot of people. It kind of became sort of a hit, or not a hit, but sort of became well known after the fact.
It's a cult classic.
It's a cult classic, exactly. This is from Wikipedia. It says contemporary reviews were favorable, with Music Weekly Sounds declaring that Solid Air flows beautifully and shows the entire spectrum of music that John Martin has at his fingertips. And, you know, I can definitely see that. He's kind of seamlessly, he's moving through different genres in a way that you don't even notice. It all blends so well together. You don't even notice that. Like, I'd Rather Be the Devil is got some really rocking parts, but it's also jazz, and like, you know, it's kind of all over the place, but it just blend. He's able to blend it so well. Part of that is also the musicians that are playing on the album, and a lot of the musicians are from Fairport Connection.
Or Fairport Convention? Oh,
yeah, Fairport Convention, yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That sort of makes sense, because they were sort of a band that sort of straddled the line between rock and roll. They were definitely, when you get enough people in a room, it's hard to sound like folk sometimes, especially when everybody's playing a different instrument. How many different instruments can you introduce until you're not playing folk anymore? Sort of one of those things. where a lot of the music has got like definitely roots in like North America and stuff like that. But it's interesting how the British sort of take that. I mean, there's obviously a folk tradition that goes way, 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 way back in Britain and Europe. Introducing the jazz and a little bit of the rock and roll and a little bit of the just the way that they have a tendency to blend it almost better than a lot of American artists did. Maybe it's because of their outside perspective. I don't know. They can see the big picture better. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something in the water. It's done. It's every genre. You can tell. It's like, well, like when the Strokes first came out, people thought they were British because, oh, they sound British. It's like, what does that mean? They sound British.
I kind of do know what they were thinking. They were thinking they sound a little bit like, I don't know, something that you would hear like the Arctic Monkeys or even Oasis or something like that, or around bands that were around in those areas. People's influences are people's influences, and you no longer stick to what's really just immediately around you, although that definitely will influence you as well. But
I wasn't able to find a whole lot of information on the album, a whole lot of facts. A couple of things that I found was the album was recorded over 8 days.
That's pretty short.
For something that's as,
professional sounding.
Exactly. And the album cover is an example of, I've never heard of this before. It's a sclerin photography. It's a process of photographing fluid. Invented by the German physicist August Toepler, and basically it's to demonstrate the solid nature of air. It's to represent air is the album cover, and the title track "Solid Air" was dedicated to Nick Drake, who had died of an overdose of antidepressants 18 months after the album. After the album was released. So, after the album. Okay. So that's kind of nice that, you know, he was able to hear the song, you know, but,
I hope so.
Yeah. John Martin says it was done for a friend of mine, and it was done with very clear motives, and I'm very pleased with it for varying reasons. It has got a very simple message, but you'll have to work that one out for yourself. I think it's probably a cautionary tale about mental health, you know.
Yeah, mental health is. I mean, I understand firsthand how bad mental health can be. And I haven't experienced the full brunt of some people near me have experienced. So
that is true. That is true. So those are just a few things I was able to find. I guess we'll get back into side two of the album. But before we do that, let's hear from our friends over at the Abandoned Albums podcast. So check those guys out.
Our mission at Abandoned Albums is simple as this ad. Our only goal is to keep the recorded work of artists on the cultural radar and showcase new artists who should be on the cultural radar. Some things in life are truly that simple. With our tongue firmly in cheek, it's why we say Abandoned Albums is the only music podcast that matters, and it's available wherever you get your favourite podcasts.
We'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
All right, and ending the album with Gentle Blues. Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty fantastic album. There is not a bad song on here, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, I'm definitely impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know what else to say about it. I mean, this is a really solid album. No pun intended, but you know, it's really, you know, the album, a lot of the albums that we review, it's like, you know, it's some of them, it's like, okay, this is really good, but you know, there's some stuff that, yeah, it could have been better. I can't think of a single thing that I would improve on if I were producing the album. I can't think of anything that I would really change. I have no notes for this. I mean, there's nothing that I would, that stands out that is, even like dipping a little bit in quality. Like, it's really, I'm really impressed with this album. You know, me too.
I kind of feel basically the same thing. Sometimes I think his enunciation could probably be a little bit more, but I think he could enunciate a little bit more, I think is what I'm trying to say. But I think that's like the only thing. I mean, other than that, I think like it's musically, I can't think of anything that I'd change. I think if I had produced this album or something like that, I'd be very proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, there's very few, I think, flawless albums where, and you know, the crazy thing too is there's really no, like it's recorded in 1973 and
recorded 72. Well, it came out January 1st, 73.
Well, yeah, so I guess in 72.
I'm just being pedantic.
Well, yeah, around the time anyway, but, even the musicians on it, like there's nothing comes to mind where there's any like, mistakes or like, oh, there's a missed note here, or you know, there's something off here. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, that's part of the charm about older albums, is there's sort of these sort of human elements. And I'm not saying that there isn't that here, but what I'm saying is it sounds so well put together that, you know, I think it's not perfect, but it's near perfect. And just the level of musicianship and everything's on in time and in tune, but it still has that sort of that human element to it, like I said, and it's not, it's just amazing that they recorded this whole thing in 8 days, because it sounds like they labored over it. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I don't know if I could say that better. That's pretty much puts the nail on the head, I think. This is a very well put together album. It sounds like it was slaved over, but really they banged it out.
Yeah.
They really did. It's just interesting. I mean, I guess the musicians are just on to just top of their form.
Yeah, but to learn the song and then record it and have it come out this good is, it's like, I can only imagine, like, I don't know how they would have recorded this, but I would imagine that, you know, they would have gathered the musicians in the studio. He would have, then they were going to record that day, and he would have presented the song. He would have played it on his acoustic guitar and said, okay, this is the song we're recording today. And then they have to learn the song, come up with their parts. And, you know, it sounds like it wasn't done that quickly, even though it was.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not just playing. They have to learn the song first and then record it. And it sounds like they just know it. But with that said, if you can do it, what would be your three highlights on the album? Three favorite tracks?
Yeah, it is tough. I like Don't Wanna Know. That was pretty good. I think The Man in the Station was pretty good. And then I'm going to go with the title track, Solid Air, I think.
Yeah, I think I would probably, those are really good choices. I think I would go with, I would definitely go with Solid Air. I really liked May You Never, and
yeah, that was good.
And yeah, I think Man in the Station as well. I think those three songs, those would be my picks. So I think I know the answer to this, but would you listen to this again?
Yeah, I think I'd listen to this again.
Yeah, I absolutely would. And I think I'm going to listen to this again for sure. Yes. I want to hear some more of his stuff. So I think I'm curious to hear what his other albums are like as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely check that out. So yeah, so I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. If you did enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And we'd love if you could leave us a rating and review, as it really helps new listeners find us. And if you want to support the show, you can do that by going to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. You can get these episodes the day before they go live, and you can even pick an album for us to review. And you can also check out the website, polyphonicpress.com. You can get all the updates there and listen to all the past shows and everything. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.